Now, whatever you made of the questioning, the political event of the week was Bob Dimond's appearance before the Treasury Select Committee. Backbenchers will gain still more prominence now that the full inquiry into banking is also to be conducted by Parliament. With witnesses such as Richard Branson, Russell Brand and Rupert Murdoch, select committees have certainly been getting publicity lately. But how effective are they? And is it time for them to be given additional powers? Our political correspondent Chris Mason has been examining the arguments.
I think we're running out of time. I have a final question about...
Time is infinite.
Unfortunately,
we cannot run out of time.
I would just like to say one sentence. This is the most humble day of my life.
Two ear-catching moments from two celebrity select committee witnesses, Rupert Murdoch and Russell Brand. 2 years ago, after the general election, the chairman and women of select committees were elected for the first time. The aim? To enhance the legitimacy of what many see as the epitome of parliamentary scrutiny. So should they be given even more muscle? In one specific instance, the Labour backbencher John McDonnell says yes. He introduced a bill in the Commons this morning calling for the Treasury Select Committee to be given a veto over who is chosen to replace Sir Mervyn King as the Governor of the Bank of England next year. It'll be a role with extra clout, Mr McDonnell says, and so it should come with extra scrutiny.
The job has changed dramatically. The Financial Services Bill, which will soon become an Act, empowers the new Governor with a whole range of new responsibilities and new duties, new powers. This would be one of the most powerful appointments in government, so it needs more scrutiny. And it does, I think, to give confidence in the job and the person that we appoint, I think it needs the parliamentary approval as well.
It is perhaps not surprising the Treasury Select Committee agrees with John McDonnell. The committee's chairman is the Conservative Andrew Tyrie.
The Bank of England's being given unprecedented powers which will affect the daily lives of millions of people, for example, whether or not you can have a mortgage. It's crucial that we have a scrutiny system in place which commands both parliamentary and public support.
Mr Tyrie's committee would ask the next governor to appear anyway, but for him, the power of a veto, as handed to his committee over the appointment of the head of the Office for Budget Responsibility, would be an important step forward. Not so, says the Chancellor George Osborne's former chief of staff and former Bank of England economist, the Conservative MP Matthew Hancock.
Coordinating economic policy is difficult enough without there being two masters. And it's important that the Chancellor and the Prime Minister can ensure that they have a Governor of the Bank of England who shares their economic strategy, even if at times judgments may differ.
And the government is determined that that view, articulated by Matthew Hancock, prevails. But putting that specific issue aside, what about broader questions relating to the power and effectiveness of parliamentary committees, particularly given this week's debate surrounding an inquiry into the banking industry? The liaison committee, which is made up of the chairman and women of the select committees, is currently looking into this. So too have the constitutional lawyers Amy Street and Richard Gordon QC, in a recent report which raises intriguing questions, not just about select committees, but the forthcoming banking inquiry, as Amy Street sets out.
There is no one place that you can look to find out what a select committee's powers are. So that's the first problem. The second problem is that, in practical terms at least, there are no coercive powers which select committees can exercise. Because when it comes down to it, if, for example, they ask a witness to attend and the witness doesn't attend, they can summon the witness to attend. But if the witness still doesn't come, what happens? Well, they refer the matter to Parliament, and it's really very doubtful that Parliament has any practical powers to deal with that in modern times.
The picture for joint committees of both houses, as planned for the banking inquiry, has, Amy Street says, equal if not greater capacity for confusion. For Richard Gordon QC, a poorly thought through reform of the committee system could bring it into direct conflict with the courts, a clash between Parliament and the judiciary. But a commitment to clarity would make a huge difference.
The more clarity you have, and the more both they know and we know what is happening, the more they can order their own procedures, the more legitimacy they will be perceived to have. And the more legitimacy, ironically, they're perceived to have, the greater will be their influence. And the greater their influence, the more likely it is that they will come to have many of the powers they so far appear to lack without actually ever coming into conflict with the courts at all.
For others, existing conventions and the court of public opinion inclining the likes of Rupert Murdoch and Bob Diamond to appear voluntarily are sufficient. But with their political profile already high and likely to get higher, the calls for changes to the committee system appear to be growing louder.
Chris Mason reporting.